Welcome back to the Branding Blog Podcast. Dave Young with you here, and today we're going to do something maybe a little different, a little dangerous perhaps, working without a net. I'm going to interview Sarah Ripley, who is one of our Wizard of Ads partners in Australia. She works with Craig Arthur, and I've never actually talked to Sarah before. So we're going to get to know Sarah. We're going to find out how she's helping businesses in northern Queensland in Australia. And we're going to do this. You're going to hear my first ever conversation with Sarah live as it happens. So I want to thank you for tuning in again today for our podcast. And without any further ado, let's just ring up Sarah on Skype and see how she's doing. It's, we'll explain the time difference here in just a second. So let's see if we can get Sarah on the line.
Good evening.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, thank you for being on the podcast. It's good to talk to you.
That's okay. Thank you for having me, and good to finally talk to you.
Yeah. So the time difference is pretty funny, and we're kind of keeping Craig out of this by talking while he's, well, it's too late for him to be up.
Yeah, he would have gone to bed a long time ago. He's a bit of a grandpa.
Oh, that's got to hurt. A bit of a grandpa. Come on. You know, Bridget's...
Not really. He'll be up at 6 in the morning working while I'll be really very sound asleep. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's 6 in the morning here, and it's, what, 11 p.m. where you are?
10:25 p.m. to be exact.
Oh, I got the time wrong. I always assume Brisbane time, but then the time changes part of the year, doesn't it?
Well, Brisbane's the same as us. Sydney changes, which they go on daylight saving time.
All right, so I just did the math wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Thing, but anyway.
Well, it's early, so you've got time to exactly. when we're done with this, you've got time to go out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be definitely going out on a Tuesday night. Yeah.
Now, I think one of the interesting things, and don't take offense at this, but you're for one of our partners, you're probably one of the youngest Wizard of Ads partners we've got anywhere.
And yes, Craig, confirm that I am the youngest.
The youngest, and youngest. At the ripe old age of, if I remember Craig right, maybe 23, 22. Is that
23 and 7 months and about 3 days?
Oh, yeah. See, so you're still young enough that you count the half years.
Yes, I think so. Once you get to 25, I think it becomes unacceptable. But I think until then, it's still okay to say you're 23 and a half. Still a milestone, and you're still excited about turning a year older till about then, I'd say. And then it starts probably to go downhill. But I'll let you know in 2 years' time if that's the case.
You got to still do it while it's a reason to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing and your background. Now, we became Facebook friends maybe a day or so ago, or mm-hmm. I suppose earlier today for you. You know, on Facebook, everybody can put where they're from, and it listed a place in New Zealand. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was born there 23 years ago, as we've been discussing, to a Pommy I don't know if you still call UK people Pommies, but mm-hmm. an English father. And an Australian mother who were both over there just traveling and both decided to settle there and had my sister and I and stayed there till I was 10. And my mum got a bit homesick and wanted to come back to Australia. So we moved over to Australia rather when I was 10 and I've been here ever since. So I still consider myself a Kiwi though. Being a Kiwi gets you into more countries easier when you're traveling, and they seem to have gotten a slightly better reputation than Australians, so I tend to be a New Zealander most of the time. But then an Aussie, other parts of the time, it just depends on who I'm talking to.
Well, that works out great. And I'm no expert in dialect, but you do, to me, you have more of an Aussie accent than a Kiwi accent, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I lost my New Zealand accent very long ago, unfortunately, but, you know.
Well, because that can cause you some trouble in Australia, can't it?
Just a little bit, yes.
Well, tell me what got you interested in marketing as a career. I know that you, when you and Craig met, you had been working for a local dentist. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct. I basically, when I was at high school, I was really into creative, sort of the creative arts, did drama, did a bit of art, that kind of thing, but was always very interested in English and writing as well. Writing was my big passion. So at that stage, though, you know, marketing isn't really, well, I'm not sure whether it's the case in the States, but marketing and advertising isn't really pushed as a profession in high school here. It's more trades or, mm-hmm. or technical, or then there's like lawyers or medical and that kind of thing. So I went to uni sort of following in my sister's footsteps of, you know, I got to go to university or college, as you would say,
sure.
To, you know, gain, you know, potentially a good job after high school, that kind of thing, and did a straight business degree and then had to pick a major. And I just sort of on a whim thought, oh, yeah, I might give marketing a go. I did a first-year marketing subject as a core subject in the first year of my degree, where you sort of just try out everything, and I really enjoyed it. And then sort of it just went from there, and just being in a small town like Townsville, you just know people, get talking to people, and that's what landed my first job at the dentist, which after a few weeks of being there, I then met Craig and have obviously known him ever since. So, yeah, it was a good sort of starting off. I did that while I was still at uni.
Okay.
Working internally there as a marketing consultant, and then Craig was being the external consultant for that, which at the time I was stoked at, because I was doing the marketing for a dental company which had, I don't know whether you know, I'm sure Craig would have mentioned a
sure.
bit about it.
Yeah, I've actually been there. Met
very familiar,
met the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I was 20, how old was I, 20? 19, 20, and getting this job in this company, I was absolutely stoked. And it just sort of went from there, and, yeah, just grew to really, really love it. And then, yeah, through my relationship, knowing Craig, it just went – every sort of – I kept in contact with him. The subsequent job I went after the dentist, which was to an advertising agency,
mm-hmm.
to sort of broaden the scope, I guess, and to be able to deal with different – clients and, you know, get, I guess, a broader experience base, because obviously working just inside a dentist, you're only obviously advertising and marketing within a dentist and one company. So I really wanted to get a bit more of experience. So went then to an advertising agency and then concluded my employment at the end of last year, 2010. And then Craig invited me to come on as a partner, and here I am now. So,
well, tell me,
that's basically in a nutshell.
Well, yeah. So that's actually quite a bit of experience for someone your age. You know, you don't expect that. Here's where I'm curious. You took marketing at uni, and you had some experience inside an ad agency, inside a single company doing marketing. Tell me mm-hmm. about the differences, because this is the part that I think is always interesting, is that that difference between the world of textbook marketing and the real world inside a company, the real world as a consultant, usually two starkly different worlds.
Oh, absolutely. You couldn't hit the nail hard on the head if you tried. That's something that myself and a couple of, you know, other peers and colleagues have said so many times, is how much we actually use from our university courses. And, you know, what if we could go back and talk to lecturers and you know, scholars and people in the university now, what we could perhaps, you know, say to them to teach people coming through. Because when I left, you know, pardon me, I left university, I didn't know how, you know, any practical knowledge at all. And obviously there's always technical on-the-job training that you're going to learn, but very little I found of the theoretical technical knowledge I used in those first couple of years. And then looking at what I'm doing now with Wizard of Ads and the techniques and the knowledge and all of that is extremely different as well to what I learned at uni. I mean, at the same time, it's good to get different experiences, different bases, and to call on different knowledge that you've learnt. But yeah, very, very different real world kind of thing. And I think that's a big, big issue, particularly, I'm not sure what the case is over in the States there, but definitely I think an issue that's happening here in Australia, because yeah, it's so difficult to get into the marketing field in Australia, because the people that are coming through that, you know, businesses have employed in the past haven't really understood, I guess, what they're doing, and that's obviously, you know, partly no fault of their own. It's just a lot of the tertiary education we're getting isn't gearing us up. You know, I didn't know how to ask a radio station for a schedule. I didn't know how to, you know, organize a budget or anything like that. So, yeah, it was a big eye-opener. But, yeah, something that definitely needs to change, I think, in future years, so hopefully.
Can you give me some specific examples of how things are different in the real world than some of the things that you may have learned in your coursework?
I guess, like, in the coursework we did, there was so much a big emphasis on group work, which is a, you know, I enjoy working in groups. I think it's a great thing to know how to do. However, when I was working, you know, my first job at the marketing factory, at 1300 Smiles, I very rarely was working in a group with other marketers. It was just myself. And then you've also got to come up with things like, you know, budgets, you know, the plans, you know, the dummy plans we put together at uni. We didn't really have set, we made up the budget and we didn't really have an idea of the costs of TV. We just made it all up because it was just, you know, a dummy, you know, marketing plan. Whereas in the real world, you've got to, you know, get a budget handed down by the finance department. You usually have to wrestle with the finance department basically to get any money from them. And then there's all the other politics that go along with it. And it's not as clean cut as, okay, yep, I put a marketing plan together. These are all my ideas. Here you go, management. Please approve this. There's so many other things you have to think about and other people's influences and all that kind of stuff. So that was something when I first walked into my first job at the dentist, I thought, oh, yep, I'm ready. I'm going to put a marketing plan together. And it was sort of like, okay, well, where are you going to get the money from? You know, what needs to happen and that kind of thing. Whereas I guess, especially working at Wizard of Ads now as well, you need to take a step back and find out what are the needs are of the business. What do we want to accomplish before we even look at a plan? So that's something I think definitely in terms of specifics that I found quite frustrating once I walked into a new job and thought I was a marketing guru because I could put a marketing plan together.
it's very rarely the case, isn't it, that you had an interesting experience. I've actually got daughters that are your age, and so a couple that are younger. But we went on a visit to a university last week, and as we were touring the bookstore, we were looking at they have these laminated, maybe a 3-page laminated card set for notes for things like a chemistry class. Or an algebra, college algebra class where they list out some of the important formulas and things that you just need to have at your fingertips, right? Mm-hmm. So you could buy this card for $5. Well, they had one for a marketing where they had this laminated sheet that had, you know, the formulas for marketing. And,
oh, my God.
You know, step one, step two, step three, that kind of thing. And 3 or 4 pages of this, and I'm thinking, that's just nuts.
None of it was that easy.
Yeah, exactly. If
I think we'd all be out of a job though if it was that easy. But
well, you know, the thing is, I guess if you're going to teach it in a university course, you have to make it rote learning. You have to put it in. Here's step one. Here's step two. And they talk about research and all of these things. That's great if you're working for a big, you know, a really big company. I suppose they do some of those things. But in some cases, the biggest struggle that you have, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, but the biggest struggle you have is just convincing the business owner that he needs to do something different than what he's been doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what he's been doing may have got him where he is, but if he wants to go somewhere further, he's got to look outside himself and do something different. And that's usually one of the biggest struggles is just sitting down with that business owner and saying, you know, here's what we're trying to make happen. You've told us what the goal is, where you're trying to go, and we're giving you our best advice as to what you need to do to get there. And sometimes they just can't see it. They're too far in their own world. So
yeah, absolutely. I think they find it really confronting too sometimes, especially those business owners that look at their business as if it's their baby. Like, I don't have children, but I can imagine it'd be like someone coming in and telling you that you've got your child has a problem or that kind of thing. I would imagine it's very confronting for the business owner. But
oh, absolutely.
I think at the end of the day, if they want us to help. Craig always says it because I always whinge to him sometimes because I take him along to meetings oftentimes to give myself a little bit of credibility because being young and being female as well, you know, and I'm sitting in a room with, Craig calls it the grey hair syndrome, you know, you're sitting in these rooms with these guys or even females, you know, in the, you know, baby boom generations, even Generation X's. And here I am, Generation Y, you know, 23 years old, telling them that they've got a problem with their business, you know, and their marketing, and or not even just a problem. Maybe it's just, you know, these are the things that we're suggesting in order for you to, you know, help you grow. And they're sort of looking at me as if, you know, did you just finish high school? What do you know? Kind of thing, you know, it's that sort of mentality. So I often take Craig with me, just give a bit of credibility. He called it grey hair syndrome, as I said. So, you know, because I've got a male in the room and he's in his 40s.
You've got to bring your own grey hair in.
I know. I'm thinking about wearing a wig one time, but we'll see what happens.
That's great. Well, you know, the age difference is interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One is just that I think it's really neat that you're the age you are and really interested in this and especially in coming on board with us because our passion is helping those small business owners. You know, the big publicly traded companies that operate with the board of directors and those kinds of things typically aren't always good fits for us. When you can sit across the table from someone who makes the final decision, whose name is on the door, who writes the checks, that's somebody that we can help. And so it's just rare that someone of your age can kind of find that as kind of a shared passion. And I think it's really cool. But let's look at the age difference again. And, you know, I can't ask you to contrast what it's like marketing today versus 20 years ago, because obviously you weren't doing this 20 years ago. But
no, I was walking around. I was getting out of nappies. That was my biggest accomplishment 20 years ago.
But I think something that business owners get caught up in, and it's certainly a conversation that Craig and I have had many times, is as the world changes, marketing changes. And sometimes a business owner wants to get caught up in all the newest and I'll give you an example. Facebook advertising. I know there's a lot of buzz around it. There's a lot of people talking about it, but I've yet to find a small owner-operated local business outside of things like coffee shops that have made good inroads with social marketing. And I think a lot of that has to do with things like who their market is, and a lot of it has to do with the product purchase cycle. And
absolutely.
And so, you know, Facebook's not going to work very well for a company who, if it's not a sexy product and it's got a long purchase cycle. So, you know, an air conditioning company, probably not going to find a lot of success on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not a sexy topic. It's not something that everybody just wants. Oh, let's talk about our air conditioners. You know, that's just probably not going to happen. So sometimes business owners get caught up in looking at the sparkly new things that are unproven.
I think that's what they need to do. What's that?
Oh, I just wondered what your take is on that and where do you see things going in your market?
Well, it's funny because I get quite a few business owners asking me about that kind of thing. You know, they've just heard these words or these phrases, and the amount of times I get asked, "Oh, I want to start a blog. I want to do a blog." My first question, you know, it's generally they've probably spoken to their child or their, you know, younger friend or whatever who've said, oh, you need to get a blog. And it's, they're not really understanding, A, what a blog is, or they're not understanding, you know, how to use Facebook. They think, oh, yeah, I want to use Facebook. I want to put ads on Facebook. I want to do all these cool, neat things. But at the same time, A, they don't know what it is, first of all. B, oftentimes they don't have the time, the commitment, or they don't understand what is involved in it. You know, they say to me, oh, I want a blog, mm-hmm. but, you know, that means you sitting down and actually consistently updating it with new and interesting things and responding to people if, you know, they post comments and backwards and forwards. Oh, okay, now that seems like too much work. So, you know, there's all these sort of ideas and a lot, and but then in total stark opposite, I get business owners who I'm still yet to convince that their business needs a website, you know, I say to business owners all the time, I'm part of a networking group called BNI. It was actually started there in the States. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
I should have, yeah.
Yeah, I'm part of a chapter here in Townsville, and I constantly say to, in a room of 20 people, only about half actually have websites. And because the other half just don't feel as though they need it at the moment. And it's difficult sometimes, especially because I think, again, my age comes into influence. I think a lot of these business owners are, I don't know, for want of a better word, they're old school. They think that newspaper advertising is the only way to go, or, you know, word of mouth. If you've got a good business, word of mouth, especially a small town like Townsville, word of mouth will get customers in. You don't need to do all this other kinds of things. So oftentimes it's hard when you are a younger person, again, trying to preach to these people saying, you know, you guys need to get a website, you need to do this, you need to do that. Oftentimes they think it's just my generation talking. Hopefully in probably, I'm like, you know, hoping to see in the next 5 or so years at least, you know, as the Generation X's move more into, you know, business owners and generation wise. And they are obviously more versed on technology and that kind of thing, hopefully it will start to increase. But as far as things like, yeah, Facebook advertising and that kind of thing, I'm yet to find a success story, and I am yet personally to click on any of those Facebook, you know, advertisements. I'm not sure whether you do, but I think I've clicked on them once by accident when I've meant to click something else, and I'm on Facebook, you know, nearly every day. So, you know, it might become something a bit more prevalent in the next couple of years, but my biggest mission at the moment is just trying to get people to get a website.
That's clear. That's probably the biggest change that if you don't have a website, it's like not having a phone 20 years ago.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Or at least not having a phone number, which I guess would necessitate a phone.
Generally,
yeah. So I think that's great. And no, I haven't. If I've ever clicked on a Facebook ad, it's because I was curious about what it is they were trying to accomplish. I mean, I'm dissecting it from a marketing viewpoint, but there's so little of interest in most of what you see. And you know, it's kind of like Google ads. They don't give enough context to actually, about all they can do is pique your curiosity, and the people that I've, you know, when you see a seminar or you see somebody talking about how to use Facebook ads, usually the biggest tip they can give you is put a girl's face in the ad. And I think, okay, well that's just cheap marketing. I mean, whatever it is you're trying to sell, make sure there's a pretty girl in it.
Yeah,
and that might get it clicked
by a 14-year-old teenage boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they'll click on anything. So I just haven't seen it work really well yet. For, you know, and I think there are exceptions. I think if your company is focused around a community of people that have a passion for you, then that's a different story. As I mentioned, a coffee shop. If everybody has a favorite coffee shop. And they do their promotions, and they let people talk to each other, and you know, they'll have somebody come in and read something from a book or something like that. Those things can work really well, but it all depends on the type of company. And it's so rare that one company can take somebody else's marketing plan and use it for themselves. You know, it just isn't going to work. It's like taking somebody else's medicine for a whole different set of symptoms. So, very interesting. So what's, you've been blogging.
Yes.
And I really enjoy reading your blog posts. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Craig and I talked about one a couple of weeks ago on the podcast and kind of
I listened to that. No, that was really good. Then while I was on there, I listened to a few more, some interesting stuff that you've been talking about. So.
Well, thank you. And it's good to have you on. What's next for Sarah? What's going on? What are your plans? You guys are taking over Northern Queensland.
Yes. Hope so.
Any plans for invading the rest of the country?
Yeah, well, looking to possibly in the near future. It's just been a big learning process these first few months, learning from Craig, obviously. You know, there's so much to learn, as I'm preaching to the converted here. You know, there's so much to learn, and at the same time, you know, helping clients and that kind of thing. I've been concentrating a lot of my efforts, which is great, you know, in an organization like Wizard of Ads, where everyone has different strengths and different specialties. It's so great for me to say to a potential client or even a client, you know, you're talking to me, but you're talking to another 50 people behind me that you don't realize are behind the scenes. So, and it's great to each of us to have our specialties. And it's also good working so closely with Craig, because he and I, we get along so well, but also we bring different things to the table. I really enjoy teaching clients, I guess, on how to grow their business initially without having to spend a whole lot of extra money on advertising at the moment. A lot of the businesses I have worked with and are working with at the moment don't have the resources, the budget, and the money to be able to spend on a year's worth of radio advertising. But they come to me and say, oh, I think this is what I need to do to get people in the door. I give you an example. I'm working with a dog groomer at the moment, who basically it's just her, and she worked Monday to Saturday from 8 o'clock in the morning or so up until she can even not even finish it about 7 o'clock at night. And basically she's a mobile groomer and would only fit 4 or 5 appointments in a day, because she was just going left, right and center. You know, Townsville isn't that big, but at the same time it takes you 20 minutes to go from one side to the other, and she was spending half an hour in between each appointment, which is redundant time because obviously she's not making money off travel, and then was having to charge these appointments a bit extra for their travel time. And, you know, I sat down with her and said, okay, what do you want to accomplish? Do you need to put on a new staff member? Where are you at the moment? And she said, you know, I don't have the resources to put on a new staff member, but there's not enough hours in the day, basically. And, you know, I said to her, well, I'm obviously not God and I'm not going to be able to make more hours in the day, but how about we make your time more efficient? So I worked with her, and simple things as, you know, getting out a map of Townsville and sorting it out into 6 quadrants, and then advising clients, you know, your designated days in the client base she already has is Monday. So, you know, 4 or 5 suburbs, you fit into Mondays. Other few suburbs sit into Tuesdays. And she just sort of looked at me like this light bulb went off. She's like, oh, I never even thought of that. So now she's fitting, you know, 8, 9 appointments in a day and cut down all the travel time. The clients are, oh, yep, whatever, we'll leave you a key out. You know, she said to me, oh, maybe it won't suit them if, you know, I bend over, you know, I've been bending around backwards to try and suit them. What if now I'm suddenly saying, oh, you know, I won't be able to accommodate them because, you know, they might be at work, et cetera. And I said to her, you know, oftentimes you will lose a couple of customers here and there. You know, Craig says and Roy, you know, going for the no. Sometimes you want to cut out those those clients that aren't making you the money. And in the end, I think she lost a total of 2 clients out of quite a few hundred. And the rest were leaving her keys out. And, yeah, now she's improving and has turned over her efficiencies pretty much double.
And it's that efficiency that's going to allow her to bring on another staff.
Exactly. So those are the kinds of things I really enjoy working with, because, you know, she said to me right up front, I don't have the money to spend it on advertising. If I had gone and been a sales rep, and I've worked at an advertising agency and done this kind of thing, I haven't felt good about it, but I had to do it at the time. That's the problem of being an employee. But, you know, I've taken their money and gone and spent it on advertising and driven customers in. They couldn't deal with the demand, and then that was wasted money. And, you know, it's frustrating when you look at when that happens to businesses, because oftentimes, yeah, you need to improve their processes and look at ways in which they can, I guess, deal with the demand and improve how they're working at the moment before looking at how they're going to grow in the future. So that's something that I'm really passionate about, and I try to talk quite a lot about in my blogs, as well as questions I get asked all the time, which is the article that you and Craig are referring to, the Where Did You Hear About Us? I get asked that question probably once a week by people asking me, how do I find out where customers are coming from? So it's the worst question, it's the dumbest question in the world, in my opinion. But, yeah, so that's where sort of I get my blogs from. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and sometimes just improving the customer experience.
Absolutely, yep.
You know, so in the case of a dog groomer, you know, there's several angles you can take. You obviously drilled right down to the one that can make the biggest difference in the shortest amount of time, and that's working. Mm-hmm. But sometimes a business owner doesn't understand that they could just provide people with a better experience than they're providing, and mm-hmm. they're usually things that they're just not even thinking about.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And yep, sometimes it just takes that external person to be able to identify it.
Yeah, so to either fix things that they're not doing great and polishing those things up, or come up with some things that will take that customer experience over the top, and exactly. And then you create something that is worth talking about for other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's fun to find those things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say that too, because Craig and I were working with an interior designer at the moment, and as part of their uncovery, we actually did a competitor, a secret shop of their competitors. And of the direct competitors we visited, I think Craig did four and I did four, so eight in total. You know, the experiences we had were all good. One of the main things that they didn't do, as well as the interior designer didn't do that we're working with, they didn't do a follow-up call, which baffled me. I couldn't understand how, you know, they're quoting on blinds and curtains. This is thousands and thousands of dollars worth of work and took, you know, hours to put quotes together and that kind of thing. And none of these businesses gave a follow-up call, which is something that, you know, this interior designer wasn't doing either. And we didn't sort of realize, you know, the implications of that. And just a simple follow-up call would improve the customer's experience. As you said, that personal experience factor, you know, tenfold. Because I guess somebody's going to feel like they're being looked after, A, and also reminding them and keeping them. Because as soon as they walk out the door, you know, it's hard to get them back. So, yeah, even little things like that, improving customer experiences and that kind of thing.
And inside the business owner's mind, sometimes they think, oh, well, I don't want to be a bother. Right? Yeah, I don't want to seem pushy.
I think that was her exact words, too, was I don't want to be pushy.
Yeah, and yet on the customer side, you can take a phone call from someone that you don't have to be pushy to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Well, yeah, really interesting. Sarah, is there anything else you want to cover today? I've really enjoyed speaking with you. And as I said at the very beginning, this is the very first time we've even actually spoken, I think, isn't it?
Mm. No, I think I've chewed your ear off enough. Well, I annoyed you with the Australian accent enough.
No, I love it. I've been to Australia 5 times, and I'm looking forward to the next time. I haven't. I'm not sure when that'll be, but whenever you and Craig, you know, throw the mat out and say,
yeah, I'm gonna have to dust up on my American accent since I'm coming over to the States in February.
Oh, are you?
Oh, I am.
What's
I'll
the
be
plan?
At the partner meeting.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Yes. In the process of booking flights and organizing all travel and that kind of thing at the moment. So.
Okay, well, yeah. That's an adventure.
Oh, yes, I'm very excited. It'll be my second visit to the States, but I was quite young, a young child when I first did it, so it'll be good to go as an adult. So I did Europe, you know, the last couple of years, so it's time to do a new continent.
Well, good for you. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the Branding Blog. And
thank you for having me.
Looking forward to doing this again sometime.
Absolutely, yeah. I really enjoy, you know, listening to your blogs and that kind of thing. And, yeah, I think it's really, really helpful and great what you are doing. I think, you know, you answer a lot of questions that business owners maybe are afraid to ask, or they wonder themselves or unsure if, you know, that's a dumb question or that kind of thing. So, you know, I've noticed even sending out emails to to BNI members. They want to know more. They want this information because, you know, marketing is such a unknown field a lot of the time, and business owners are happy to get what advice, you know, that they can get. So I think it's a really, really good thing what you do provide. So,
well, thank you. And I enjoy the format. I think it's more fun to talk to people than it is to write. I don't mind writing.
Absolutely.
But
it's something different too. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sarah Ripley with Wizard of Ads Australia, thank you so much for being a guest on the Branding Blog podcast. And keep up all the good work, and say hi to Craig when he wakes up.
I will.
Well, I mean, you're not going to be there. Well, it's what are you guys like? Get together in the afternoon because you're a night owl. He's a family guy. He's got a little girl to get off to school and a wife to get off to school or to get off to work.
It's generally around a lunchtime kind of affair, which I try to push until the early afternoon, but it just sort of depends. Sometimes, you know, you've got deadlines or things that just need to happen. So you're just like, oh, well, you know, we'll just split the difference or we'll just, you know, but yeah, he lives literally around the corner from me about 150 meters.
So, oh, okay.
It's not that big of a drive or a big drama or that kind of thing. So.
All right. Well, yeah. give him a good day for me when you see him.
A good day, I will.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Branding Blog Podcast. I'm Dave Young, and we'll talk to you next time.